Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Our problems with staying on time and getting the breaks on time aren't our issues, Sean. It's pretty clear we are set back by the previous show, and we're behind as soon as we begin. So I will no longer blame us. This is the most egregious example of it. And I think. And are you wearing your 713 hat to commemorate the opening of NBA Cup action for the Rockets?
Of course, got to.
Yeah, if you're watching on
from the Rockets.
They gave it to us directly right before the year started. They sent a lot of people in the building a care package with a backpack, and the hat was probably the biggest prize. You're the only one I've seen wear the hat. The 713 hat.
The only one with drip.
It's a very loud hat.
I mean, can I be honest?
Of course.
This might be the first time I've worn it.
I wouldn't be surprised. But today is the day. Rockets, Clippers, NBA Cup action. I know it's only in year two, but what Adam Silver's dream is, you know, the Emirates NBA Cup presented by Adam Silver, his dream is for this to become something like the FA Cup, I think, in soccer. Like 40 years from now, we're considering this tournament a big deal.
We're singing songs about the time Fred VanVleet made three jump shots against the
And I think
Pelicans.
Particularly it's for teams who, although the NBA has a cap and it's about parity, there are certain teams who we don't think are ever going, not maybe not ever, ever strong, but we don't foresee a time where they're going to win a title soon. And international soccer is a little different. There are just teams who will never win because they don't have the financial capabilities to compete. So the cup format is a chance for them to surprise, and I think that's what he's looking for. You know, the moribund franchises like the Portland Trailblazers right now, the chance of them ever winning a title is low, but they've already beaten Minnesota in their first NBA Cup game, so they have a path to win something, a trophy. I think that's what he's looking for.
Yeah.
Add some excitement to the regular season and have different people or different teams play for something, and the Rockets have their chance tonight.
I mean, you look at year one of the NBA Cup and who ended up winning? A moribund
franchise.
Crappy franchise.
Who doesn't know anything about winning. Lakers.
Led by LeBron James.
Led by the second best player of all time in some people's eyes.
But to be fair, they were like, what, the 8th seed?
Yeah, the Lakers aren't a great example of what I was talking about, but as far as how they played in the regular season, that's what he's looking for.
A team
who doesn't really have championship aspirations, or at least a chance at winning one seriously, winning the cup and saying, hey, we can take something from the year. It's not about this year. It's about, I guess, building a tradition, and that takes a lot of time. You don't make this important now. The hope is, I think, if that'll be important 15 years from now. Okay, Rockets tonight. Sean's got his hat on, and we will certainly talk about the Rockets later as they have the Clippers in town.
Go Emirates. the Emirates NBA Cup.
I know. I know. You're just hyping up Emirates?
Yeah. Make sure to go out and buy Emirates.
No free ads, Sean. That's the rule.
Free? Who said those free?
Well,
but first,
if you've got a deal that I don't know
about Emirates.
If you got a deal I don't know about, credit to you. If you went out there and scrounged yourself up an Emirates deal.
Listen, I don't know what Emirates are or what they do. Let me tell you. They put their name on a lot of things involving soccer, basketball, and Formula One.
I believe they're an airline.
Ah.
And now they are the proud sponsor of the NBA Cup.
They're on the back of referees.
Jerseys, yes. Or shirts in this case. Well, they have numbers on them. I'm going to call them referee jerseys. You know, the quote of the day yesterday, and we'll play it on the other side because as I pointed out, we're already due for a break. The quote of the day was C.J. Stroud in his media availability telling the world, I'm not a game manager. I can be a game changer. And when you read it, it hits, but when I listened to it, I was like, it's fine. It was in the midst of a bigger conversation about the season and where he is and where his confidence is. So while the pull quote, when you just see it in the form of when you're just reading it, oh, wow, CJ says something that I want to hear. And then when you hear it, it's like, oh, okay, whatever. We'll play that when we come back. We'll also hear from DeMeco Ryans. He talked about the criticism and what he is facing and what people are coming after his team about. He gave a pretty standard answer from what you expect from a head coach. He's kind of level-headed, so we'll get into that too. Texas apparently should be on alert for an upset in Fayetteville. An accomplished former SEC East champion thinks Texas should be on high alert. Yes, I said it that way because I think it's funny to couch it that way. Not an SEC
champion,
an SEC East champion back when they had divisions.
Aaron Murray said that?
A coach said it.
Oh.
A coach said
it. Rick?
A multiple-time SEC East champion said it. We'll hear from him when we come back. We'll hear from him later, or at least we'll just read the quotes. He thinks Texas should be worried about heading into Fayetteville. So we'll see, obviously, over the weekend if he's right about that. We're just getting started here. We'll get the break here. Had a good Thursday night game, at least on paper. It wasn't really that exciting, but I do have questions about Dan Quinn's decision-making late in that game. I didn't like the call when he made it, and it turned out to backfire immediately after, and then it kind of propelled the Philadelphia Eagles to a win. So a nice matchup on Thursday night. We got a couple more to get to as far as big-time quarterbacks facing each other. And, of course, record-wise, we have a couple more matchups where teams with great records are going to see each other. So we're getting started here on the show. We got Michael Carroll coming in at 11:30 to tell you what you should or shouldn't watch this weekend, as he's always got you lined up and got the best and the worst things for the weekend. And he'll give his recommendations, and we'll get to that at right around 11:30. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
It was CJ's turn to be in front of the microphone yesterday, his availability for the week. Texans quarterback asked a couple questions, some probing ones about where he is confidence-wise. It's been a short career, but you would probably call the last two games the roughest stretch of his career, considering what happened in that second half against the Lions. And then, of course, the entire game against the Jets, where MetLife might just be a place he's never going to have success with. It's only been two games, but it's been two awful outings for him there. So people are wondering, CJ, super confident, a guy everyone believes in, always looks very calm when he's out there and not overwhelmed by the moment. Now the questions are starting about where this team is, how do they feel? DeMeco Ryans had to answer some questions about what he's saying to the guys after a couple tough losses in a row. But CJ offered the quote that a lot of people latched on to. And as I said, it's part of a bigger conversation about where he is as a player. Here's CJ Stroud yesterday being asked about himself.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I try to, you know, not only just make plays, but, you know, try to take care of the football and, you know, do the right things to, you know, win the game. And, you know, sometimes they go the way, sometimes they don't. So, you know, that means a lot. And, you know, I think, you know, I'm not just a game manager. I can be a game changer. And, you know, sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. And for me, I'm going to keep the swag. And kind of just like what I told y'all last year, like, Steph Curry can go 0 for whatever, but he's going to keep shooting. So, you know, that's for me. I'm going to just keep shooting, keep trusting myself, keep trusting the talent God gave me. And, you know, the one of the biggest things, too, is my teammates trust me. You know, me and Dalton talked the other day, and, you know, he has the utmost respect in me, and I have the utmost respect in him. And I needed to hear that, you know, that just, you know, the team still rallies behind me, and they still, you know, want me to be at the helm and love me, you know, through the thick and the thin. So, yeah, it's it feels good to, you know, still have the backs of my teammate and, you know, to be able to go out there on Sundays and do what I need to do to win the game.
I didn't know we were at a crisis of confidence point with him. I didn't know he needed everyone wants some encouragement, but I didn't know we're at a point where a word from Dalton Schultz is what he needed. You could point to last year, and while it wasn't flawless, when you add the context of a rookie playing for an organization that not a lot of people had any faith in, you could say that was a perfect rookie season. The lack of turnovers, I think he turned the ball over 9 times when you include fumbles and the interceptions. He's already up to 9 this year, thrown more picks than he's had last year, and he's already lost 3 fumbles. So the regression to the mean when it comes to turnovers was expected. What he did last year as far as keeping the ball away from the other team, that wasn't something you should have expected to happen this year. It's just not how it works. Generally, you're going to have a push and pull with that stuff. And now we're getting kind of the push of that. So I'm not worried about CJ Stroud. It is interesting that that's where the conversation is going. Where are you confidence-wise? And I think he'll be fine. Sure, there are the problems with the offensive line, and that'll affect any quarterback and how they handle things. But we do have a run here of 3 games where it's time to build some confidence back. Nico Collins was back out of practice. That should continue today. And they'll have, I guess, a walkthrough on tomorrow. And then he should be ready to go for Monday. There are some concerns with injuries in other places. Will Anderson did not practice again. Derek Stingley missed, but I read Aaron Wilson's tweet about it. It doesn't seem to be a concern, but he did not practice yesterday. That might be just a thing like, hey, it's the first practice after a game in game week. He'll just miss it. We'll see where he is today. But the Will Anderson one is the one that's becoming a little bothersome. It's an ankle, so those could be temperamental depending on the severity and whether you want to classify it as a high ankle or a low ankle sprain. I better not hear he's getting tightrope surgery. The tightrope thing is something Alabama started doing to get their guys back faster when it became apparent that these guys were going to be out a long time with these high ankle sprains. So they've done it for guys, and they weren't ever like really fully healthy. They needed a rest and time, but it got them back on the field. I don't know. I don't think we're going there with Will Anderson, even though he has the Alabama connection. I guess he's not playing on Sunday, which is unfortunate. They should be able to get after Cooper Rush anyway, but you start to get a little worried when this becomes a multi-week injury for Will Anderson. It's unfortunate that he'll be out. D'Amico Ryans did talk about where their cornerback position is regarding Kamari Laster being out and where they would go. We'll play that a little bit later. If they need to depend more on corner depth because Stingley is a question mark, then you think, okay, sure, I know it's Jalen Tolbert, but maybe that allows for a guy like Jalen Tolbert to make some plays. It gives you a little less confidence in their defense if you're missing your starting corners. Like I said, Aaron Wilson put it out there that Stingley isn't a serious problem. That injury isn't serious. He just sat out of practice. Hopefully that's the case. We'll find out more today. But there are injury concerns on that Texans defense. Lassiter's not going to play with a concussion, And Anderson looks like he's well on his way to missing another game. So it is still the Cowboys. So, no, it's not time to panic. I'm trying to think how many guys would have to miss before I would actually care and think the Cowboys had a shot. Obviously, if CJ didn't play, which isn't on the cards, that'd be one. But as far as reasonable guys, like if Stingley didn't play, if an illness pops up with someone, if Nico reaggravates, would I get to like five contributors before I start to worry about the Cowboys?
Lassiter.
That's one.
Anderson.
That's two.
Stingley.
That
Collins.
Would be three, four.
And I'd be like,
then you'd be like, okay,
this is Trump.
Okay.
This
okay. Isn't good. So guys who aren't playing already, two. And then guys who are coming back from an injury, and then a guy who missed practice.
Yeah.
I think I need one more. Like, if you told me.
Really?
If you told me they're playing Kendrick Green because Patterson or Scruggs got hurt.
I was about to jokingly say that. Like,
yeah.
Scruggs. You
if
know,
you told
came
me
down
they're,
with the bug.
They're down to, like, Kendrick Green, who, if we're being honest, is, like, their third guard. Because they value the Patterson-Scruggs combo and Kenyon Green, even though we saw what that was about, more than Kendrick.
And probably Tytus Howard.
Well, they got to keep – well, would they move Tytus Howard and then put Blake Fisher at tackle? That's a question, sure.
But they haven't done it yet. They haven't done it yet. They generally have not reacted, I'd say, with a lot of, I don't know, panic or decisiveness when maybe – they should be panicking a little bit.
They haven't pushed the break in case of emergency thing of moving Tytus Howard inside.
Even like Kenyon Green, like they just let him be out there.
Yeah,
until he got hurt.
Yeah, they pulled him because it was bad, and of course Patterson suffers the concussion. But Kenyon Green was starting next week. The only reason he is no longer playing is because CJ fell on his arm because Kenyon Green couldn't block someone.
We have the level of urgency that they're making moves. Like they just haven't. They haven't had that with the offensive line.
No, it's been something where their guys are their guys, and they believe in them, even to the detriment of the team. But that's for a disaster scenario if another lineman goes down, which is not the case. We're just doom.
Yeah.
It's not doom scrolling, but we're certainly setting up doomsday scenarios, which aren't going to happen. At this point, expect Stingley to play. Expect Collins to play, and that should be more than enough to handle the Cooper Rush-led Cowboys on Monday Night Football. D'Amico Ryan's talked about being honest with his team. We'll hear that when we come back. The discussion is, we talk about where CJ is. Where is this team? What do they need to improve on? And he tells the guys straight up what the deal is, where they are, and what is happening. He isn't too bothered by the last couple games. He thinks it will help the team in the long run. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans when we come back. But before we do that, let's talk about Monument Chevrolet. If you are looking for a vehicle, particularly a Chevy, but they have others. They have a wide variety of pre-owned vehicles. But if you're looking for something new, Monument Chevrolet in Pasadena is a place you need to go. They've been in business for 50 years. What does that mean? That means they've been serving the customers remarkably for a long, long time. Generations have gone there. The dad, the daughter, or the son, they've all gone there and got their cars from Monument Chevrolet because they're family, and they want you to become part of their family. When I went out there last week, I got on the first-name basis with Jeff and Chris. There are a couple of guys who walked us through what they're all about. And if you want to find out, just head on out there. They're at 3940 Pasadena Freeway off of Beltway 8 and 225. Of course, go to the website, monumentchevrolet.com, and check out their inventory. And when you check it out and you see those prices, they're going to be the same prices you find when you go out there. There are no hidden fees, no upcharges. The price is the price. The salespeople are friendly. They're not pushy, and they want to have your business. And I know that because they have a championship belt. The salesperson of the week gets the belt. So you know they're looking out for you. You know they want to sell you a car, and they will meet your price. They will work with your finances. They have a large fleet. So if you're a business owner and you're looking to add something to your fleet, go out there. The sixth largest fleet dealership in the country. Whether you're in the government or in an industry, they get their vehicles at Monument. You can go out there and get them too. New, pre-owned fleet, it's all out there. Go to monumentchevrolet.com and check them out. And remember, the monthly offer right now at Monument Chevrolet, get 1.9% financing on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab Rally Sport Truck with a 5.3-liter engine. Or you can choose an all-new electric vehicle with 0% financing for 60 months for well-qualified buyers. whether it be a Colorado or a Silverado. That's part of the stock out there, too. Check them out. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We'll get to the D'Amico Ryans here shortly. But a conversation came up this morning regarding the fight between Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. Maybe I'm just naive and it crossed my mind to ever think that this thing was going to be staged and someone's going to get paid to take a dive, mainly because I include the craziness of Mike Tyson in my assessment of this. I couldn't imagine him taking a dive, and it's always the assumption that Mike would take the dive because the streamer on the other side is the one to all the theatrics, and they would never have him take one. I don't know why we don't just assume Jake Paul would take one, I guess, but I guess maybe that comes from the assumption that Mike Tyson would kick his ass. So it's only believable if Mike Tyson, and the big moment is the surprise of Jake Paul knocking him out.
Also, one guy will have a boxing career after this.
True. True. Like Mike Tyson, this would be probably the last time we see him in the ring.
Yeah. Like why?
But if Jake Paul lost, or in this theory or conspiracy takes a dive, it's not like it's going to matter. He's not a serious boxer.
Yeah, but it just, like, the PR boost is like, oh, my God.
Of beating Mike Tyson?
Yeah, this guy beat Mike Tyson.
Yeah, all that makes sense. I just...
my God, this guy lost to Mike Tyson.
Yeah, what happens for Mike Tyson if he beats Jake Paul because Paul takes a dive? Nothing, really, right? Nothing. He's not going to go on to, like, fight Aiden Ross next. He's not going to just fight all the streamers and see how it goes for him. I mean, I wouldn't mind it if he just started knocking out streamers, but I don't think that's what he's going to do. It's on Netflix tonight, and I don't know. I don't think I'm interested, to be honest with you. I know it's a dream that popped up. It's a dream night for sports. If you want to watch Tyson versus Paul and Rockets versus Clippers and Wildcats versus Cougs.
Wow, yeah.
What a dream. I don't think I'm watching. Like, I will catch the chatter on Twitter. But I don't think I'm locking in the Netflix to watch this fight.
Mm.
Friday night.
After the show today, I'm going to Lake Charles. Or not immediately after the show, but tonight I'm going to
Lake
Charles.
Watching a sports book might be fun.
I'm assuming it'll be on one of the TVs.
Do they have to get a Netflix subscription specifically for this?
That's the funny thing. Because like when there's like a Peacock game or there's been like ESPN Plus games on there, and I'm like, this makes sense that like a sports book would be able to put this on one of the screens.
Yeah, because Peacock carries soccer
Soccer, yeah. They carry college football now. They get a NFL playoff game last year. So like there's reason for that infrastructure to be – I don't know if they're going to have Netflix ready to fire and go. Now, there will be a football game on Netflix later.
This year, the Texans will be on Netflix.
So maybe this is the like trial run.
Do you think
for that?
It'll be the account of the hotel, or will an employee have to scramble and give them their account so they can get this fight on?
I assume it'll be the hotel. I don't know if the waiter Gavin is going to be putting in his mom's
Gavin's
login.
Gavin's mom's algorithm when you're trying to get to the fight. What's popping up on there? Oh, look, mom really likes Stranger Things.
Wow. And everything. Suits is back.
Yeah, Midnight. She loves all the Mike Flanagan shows, Midnight Mass and Haunting of Bly Manor, all that stuff. Gavin's mom. I imagine that they have decided to get themselves an account because of all the sports that's coming their way. I would assume. And once the fight's over, I just want them to have Netflix as an option. Like, if someone just wants to watch Squid Game Season 1, they can just watch it.
Extraction 2?
Yeah. I love
that one
movie.
On the screen.
Yeah.
Coons on one screen.
Why
Extraction
not?
2 on the
exactly.
Other.
Why not? Not everyone who's coming to the book is there for sports. Maybe they just want to hang out. And if you want to provide them with another option, that's cool. So that's on Netflix tonight. I know people are going to watch. I'll wait for the results. I don't need to see it. And then once it's over, I can watch the clips. If there's a knockout or something questionable happens, I could see it. But I don't think I'm. Yeah. I don't think I got to get to Netflix tonight for it.
It's going to be hard to pass the gray man to click on.
Yeah, man. Look at all the options. All the Korean television I like to watch. You're gonna catch me strand and watch. And Arcane's coming out tomorrow. I've already watched the next three episodes. I watched the first three episodes that came out last Friday or last Saturday. So there's so much to get to.
Wait, American Gangster's back on Netflix?
These are all the things.
F this.
Yeah, there's so much. How am I expected to just focus on this fight beyond the fact that it'll be the first thing you see when you turn on the app? I'm sure it'll be featured programming. They want people to watch Netflix diving into live sports. I imagine it'll be fine. They had some issues with one of the Love is Blind live things they did. I assume they have it fixed. Oh. But we'll see. It'll be a test for them. They've done live stuff before, like live roasts.
They did like a Chris Rock thing.
Yeah, they've been preparing for this, but this is a fight. A lot of people are interested. I think a lot of people are going to watch tonight.
It's not pay-per-view, is it?
No.
It's just on Netflix.
If you have Netflix, you can watch it. I don't think you have to drop another $35 to watch it or whatever the price is.
Because that's how like UFC works.
I know, I think Netflix is saying, hey, if you have our service, you can watch the fight from all accounts.
Good.
And when the Texans roll around, I don't think you have to – I don't think it's like Apple TV where you have Apple TV and then you also have to pay for the MLS package.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be like that. So we'll see.
So my mom will be able to watch this fight.
If your mom is really interested to see, turning on Netflix tonight. Yes. If your mom was really interested to see if this is a real fight, she'll be able to see it without.
I can't imagine she's interested.
I can't. I don't think so.
I don't know. She's definitely not a Jake Paul person. And I'm not sure if she's a big fan of
Mike don't
Tyson
know either. Any Jake Paul people.
Really?
I don't know anyone who.
Do we have an intern that can.
Not today. I mean, not for this show. I don't know if Alan, the previous intern, is a Jake Paul person.
Probably not.
But I've never met anyone who talks about Jake Paul glowingly and says, I like what Jake Paul does. Have you?
No.
Yeah, who out there is a Jake Paul person? If you're a Jake Paul person, we won't slander you too bad. Let us know.
Colin.
Or if you're just interested. Yeah, probably him. If you're interested in the fight, let us know. If you're going to watch it tonight, 713-780-3776. I am actually interested because we had a lot of people call about it and really more about questioning whether it's real or not. I saw a lot of that. Is it real?
I had the question for Joe of when we get to Louisiana, will we be able to bet on it? And I wasn't sure, and I think we will be.
Yes. I don't think it is. I don't think there's a script, at least not anything that's leaked. So I think they're going to have bets on it. It's a sporting event.
Okay.
I think it's a sporting event.
All right. Then I'm betting on Paul, by the way.
You don't think the 58-year-old is going to win?
No, I like the 30-year age difference in my favor.
What about the fact that the only time he faced a real boxer, he lost? Although that real boxer was much younger.
Yeah, I was going to say, how old was that real
Tommy,
boxer?
Tommy Fury.
Can we get an age check on that?
So I would hope Tyson wins. Not that I have any real love for Mike Tyson, just that we can't have the streamers winning everything.
That's the thing. They do kind of, I mean, other than that one fight, they do kind of just win these things.
Yeah. They usually have a matchup to their advantage. Yeah. Like Nate Diaz got beat by Paul Logan. And, no, Jake. He got beat by Jake Paul.
Sure.
I think that's how that went.
Floyd Mayweather fought, I was about to say played, which is kind of what they
it's kind of what it is, yeah.
With Logan Paul.
Yeah, I think it was.
And he won, but Logan Paul, like, wasn't eaten out of a straw after the fight.
Well, Floyd Mayweather, that wasn't a style, but you think he might be able to turn it on against
the streamer-turned-boxer. Think that just a good boxer would be able to.
But there's a reason. You take
it's a
paycheck, and yeah. Floyd Mayweather isn't probably looking to knock anyone out at this point unless things got really, really personal, although that doesn't seem to bother him either. So that fight's on tonight. Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. 27-year-old Jake Paul versus 58-year-old Mike Tyson. I am hoping for a Tyson win, I guess. Now that I've kind of worked it out in my head, I think I'm hoping for a Tyson win. And I'll find out about it on Twitter Or maybe I'm sure ESPN will have an alert too.
You'll get the push notification.
Sure.
Oh my God, with the emoji that's
in the middle of me celebrating a second night of the NBA Cup, I'm sure there will be a notification telling me who won that fight.
Did the Heat play?
Yeah, they play in Indiana. Every team play?
Tough. I don't know if every team plays.
I think so. I think it's a full slate. I think so. So, Willie P, we see you. You want to talk U.S. soccer? They did get a win last night. They beat Jamaica in Jamaica in leg one of the quarterfinals in the Nations League. Anyone else want to get in on whatever interest you can call in? 713-780-3776. At some point, we'll get back to the Texan sound, because D'Amico Ryan spoke about where his team is and what he tells them when they're going through rough patches and what he thinks they need to do to finish some of these games. They did have opportunities. That's what's kind of lost in the disaster of a second half against the Lions and not beating the Jets. They were in both these games late, and the other teams made plays while they didn't, and that's why they dropped their last two games. So, Willie P, anyone else wants to get in, we'll get to you when we come back.
But first, I need to talk about Prize Picks, and you know what Prize Picks is offering. They do have a tab for the boxing, for the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight, including a special that's active for, and I'm looking at it, the next 11 hours and 13 minutes. It's Mike Tyson to have more than one half total punches landed. So if you think that Mike Tyson can land a punch on Jake Paul, you basically got a free square right there. Like we said, it's going to be a big night in sports. You got the Cougs playing in Arizona. And then, of course, you got the NBA Cup. So it's the perfect time to get in with Prize Picks and make a little bit of money. Like I said, they're already offering the Mike Tyson special. So it gives you an opportunity to really multiply how much money you can win. So you're going to go to the Prize Picks app. You're going to download it. You're going to use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
ESPN 97.5.
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So the U.S. went into the unfriendly confines of Jamaica and won a Nations League quarterfinal leg one game. If you think that's not important, I won't fight you on it.
Bigger than the NBA Cup game tonight?
Is Nations League bigger than the NBA Cup? It's debatable.
Okay.
They're both relatively new things that were made up to make games more interesting instead of having a friendly that led to nothing. Now you have a quarterfinal that could lead to a trophy. U.S. dominate Nations League. The big stat line or stat from the outcome is the fact that Mauricio Pochettino matched Greg Berhalter's road CONCACAF games in competitive matches already. One win for each. Not great for Greg. Not great for Triple G. One competitive win on the road in CONCACAF over the course of his tenure. Yeah, why would we want him out? Why would anyone think that he might be holding back this talent pool? The game wasn't impressive, but that's to be expected, honestly. It's CONCACAF soccer, you know, on a bad pitch on a Thursday. It happens. But Willie P wants to talk U.S. soccer. U.S. soccer, what's up, Willie P?
Hey, good morning, Dale. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
You know, can't call another day in paradise. So, first off, yes, the Nations League is more important than the NBA Cup or Emirates Cup or whatever you want to call it. Because
does it have a special name? Is it sponsored by the Emirates? Does Nations League have a special sponsor?
We don't need that dirty Saudi money over here in the U.S. It's all good.
You don't want that sports washing money? All right, I got you.
Well, yes, one, that's one. And two, coaches in the NBA aren't getting fired for losing the in-season tournament or Emirates Cup. You mess around in the Nations League and lose one of these small countries, you're out of here. Ask Mexico's coach. Look at Berhalter. I mean, he didn't lose in the Nations League, but still, you know, he had some shaky ties. But last night was a sign of progress, and I was very impressed because, like I told you, I don't know if you remember way back when they announced, when they were talking about getting Poch, I said, hopefully he does what he did at Tottenham. And last night, he did exactly what he used to do at Tottenham when they go to play the big teams. And now, I'm not saying Jamaica's a big team, but that hostile environment, you know how it is down there in the Caribbean. Those dudes lose their nerve down there with almost every coach. I mean, hell, they lost to, what was that, Trinidad and Tobago? And
then the World Cup, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so what Poch did was amazing. He went out there with that 4-2-3-1. He put those two double midfield pivots down there, Tanner Tessman and I can't even think of the other one. And they did their
Cardoso
thing. And you know what? Yeah, and then he actually had to leave for Malik Tillman or whatever.
Yeah.
But I will say this much. Anthony Robinson, he's the second most important player on this team behind Pulisic. And the reason why I say this is because late in the second half, he was the only one who was about that life and who wanted that smoke every time Jamaica chopped down their captain. Pulisic is our star boy, and it was good to see that somebody was actually standing up for him, because that has not always been the case. So you can see that Poch is turning things around. And I remember you were talking like a few months ago, we were like, you know, we don't really want to see Tanner Tessman. But here's the thing. I'm starting to think that maybe he might evolve into a better player, because clearly Poch and Berhalter and old boy who was in charge before Poch, they see something in him. He keeps getting invited to these camps. And I believe that if he gets out of MLS and takes a chance, maybe, I don't know, in the Dutch league or something, maybe English second division, he might transform into something, because he was one of the most poised players, you know, back there last night. So, you know, last night was a great step in the right direction. And, you know, then for the next game, the second leg, we get way up back, you know. So, I think we're moving in the right direction, and I'm very optimistic and about what's to come. And last thing, with the Terra Twins on the Rockets, it makes me excited for the Rockets games. And every night I'm looking forward to watching them, because I can't wait to watch Amen and Tari do their thing. You guys have a great day. As always, love the show. Sean A. Mapes, what do you do, baby? Peace, fellas.
Appreciate you, Willie P. Winning now down there and not giving up a lead, that's progress. Now, it took a penalty save in the first half to keep that lead, but they got it done. Matt Turner, the goalie who's been under fire, a lot of it because he doesn't get a lot of run at his club, so certainly people are questioning how good he is and should he be the U.S. number one. He made a big save, and to Willie P's point about protecting Starboy, Matt Turner in the huddle before the game said, we got to keep this guy clean. If they come after him, we got to go after them, because he's our guy, and we know when we play teams of this caliber, they're going to mess with Christian Pulisic. So that was part of the equation. And he mentions Anthony Robinson, the left back, who's one of the best players, one of the best left backs in the Premier League. That's not me just hyping up an American. Look at all the stats. He may be the top left back in the Premier League right now, a guy that Liverpool and Manchester United are after, who not going to leave his club in this window or in the upcoming window, but probably is a guy who could be in play for one of those major clubs in January, or excuse me, in the summer. So that speaks to what I've said for months and maybe years now. The U.S. has talent. If you have one of the best, if not the best, left back in one of the top flight clubs in the world, you can find a way to not lose to Panama on your home soil in Copa. That should not be something that happens despite, oh, we're not as good as everyone else. If our best athletes play, stop it.
Imagine if Amin Thompson played.
Exactly.
Soccer.
Imagine if one half of the Terror Twins played.
Or both of them.
Yeah, God. Imagine if Tari played.
Put both of them at center back?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Who would ever score on the U.S.? That argument will continue, and I always push back on it, because we don't say that about the sports we care about and talk about all the time. We always talk about how important coaching is. No one's ever like, hey, you know what isn't important? Coaching. No one ever says that. We've been talking about the Rockets for years now and how soft they were because of what Steven Silas implemented, and I won't blame him completely. I think it's kind of what the Rockets front office wanted. They wanted it to be bad for a reason, and they said, Steven Silas, be bad. And then when they were ready to not be bad anymore, they hired Ime Udoka. All of a sudden, now we care about winning, so we hire someone who can impart what we want as far as a culture. But coaching always matters. Only Americans talk about it in soccer terms like it doesn't, because there's just this assumption that we can never be good no matter how good the coaching is. Because LeBron didn't choose soccer 25 years ago.
Imagine if LeBron would have put his shoulder into Jurgen Klinsmann in the 2010 World Cup.
You've made that reference twice this week.
That's right. Top of mind.
Hey, Spo, don't call a timeout. Yeah, we don't have one.
Hey, Spo, before word association, Eric Spoelstra, great coach.
Now,
best in the league. Now,
rate
Bozo
timeouts
who called the timeout.
That cost you the first game of the NBA.
LeBron was right.
Okay. Okay.
LeBron's still getting triple doubles at 39. Eric Spoelstra calling timeouts when he doesn't have any.
Who made a finals more recently?
Didn't they play each other?
But the Nuggets and the Heat played the finals.
Oh, I forgot the Heat showed up.
They did. They won a game.
Impressive.
Won as many games as the Mavericks did this past year.
Forgot they even played. I mean, Luke's not even guarding people.
Oh yeah. Speaking
the last
of that,
10 seconds.
Wow, games, that was bad last night. Just completely switched off, to use a soccer term.
I don't know what he was.
He just wanted to give up an easy dunk to the Jazz to lose a game, apparently.
It was like he was playing zone and everyone else was playing man.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's like a breakdown in the secondary. That's what it looked like to me. Somehow Luka was confused. It cost him a dunk, and then he missed the last second tying jumper as the Mavs go down to the Jazz. Yeah, Luka had a rough one.
Would have never happened in the NBA Cup.
He would have been more locked in.
He would have been in a defensive stance, yeah.
Yeah, he was like standing upright, not paying attention, and the ball just whizzed by the back
like
of his head.
The game wasn't happening. It's crazy.
He's like, why am I out here? Shouldn't there be someone else out here playing defense? You call a timeout once we get the rebound, and I'll go try to win it. I'm sure that's what he was thinking.
Not a bad idea.
I mean, I don't know if he was thinking that, but I think it's an appropriate way to think.
Sure, we can get Jaden Hardy to stand between John Collins and the basket.
Yes, someone would have offered more resistance than what Luka did.
Yeah,
just watch
Grimes,
the highlights.
Can you do it?
If you haven't seen it, we're not doing it justice. What happened in that game?
It's ridiculous.
It's almost as ridiculous as how the Heat lost earlier. Because a timeout that you don't have costs you the win coming off the back of a backdoor dunk with 1.1 to go.
Yeah, and it's an NBA Cup game, so it just like
more
magnifies
yeah.
it all.
It's almost as bad.
Yeah, almost as bad. Yeah. Spoelstra's still worse.
That's what I'm saying.
Bomb.
Almost. Hey, you can have an opinion. Everyone does.
It'll take, I don't know, a couple months for him to work off this bum energy.
I think you should apologize if he turns Tyler Hero into an all-star.
How about he turns Bam into an all-star?
He's been an all-star already. You mean this version of Bam, but he's already been an all-star.
Yeah.
But if Tyler Hero makes an all-star team, then you got to apologize.
How about Tyler Hero avoids the all-star team, or makes the all-star team, and they avoid the play-in?
No, because the play-in, they've gone to the finals. You can't use that one.
Come on, be a real team.
The fact that Tyler Hero might make an all-star team, think if I said that in the summer. Think if I was in my Miami Heat bag and was like just talking out of my ass. Tyler Hero's going to make an all-star game. What would you think?
I'd be like, that's crazy.
Exactly. So I think if the 10-game stretch of Tyler Hero to start the year continues and he makes an all-star team, the bum stuff ends. You can call him a bum until that point. I'm not going to fight
you. Or is he just getting carried by Tyler Hero?
Imagine
just
saying,
like, just like,
say that sentence again and imagine.
Just like he got carried by Caleb Martin to make the finals.
Now, if you slow it down and now say that sentence again and see how ridiculous it sounds.
He's getting carried by Tyler Hero, just like he got carried by Caleb
Martin. No, not
Martin
the Caleb
to make
Martin
the
thing.
Finals.
Back in the summer, think of saying Eric Spoelstra's getting carried by Tyler Hero.
I could see myself saying that.
Yeah, but in a non-serious way.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But now it's true.
Got carried to the 2020 finals by Tyler Hero, too.
Yeah, it's probably more Jimmy and Goran Dragic, but sure, Tyler played his part. Beyond the fact that Sean has it out for Eric Spoelstra.
Again, don't call a timeout when you have timeouts. Don't call them when you don't have them.
Yeah, that should be a rule.
I promise you, if Ime Udoka...
In fact, it is a rule.
If Ime Udoka loses a game because he calls it that, I'll come for him.
What too. About if he loses a game because he won't take Jalen Green out? Because that's happened, and it'll probably happen again.
That's different. That's tactics.
Yeah, one is just losing your mind.
Yeah, one is just knowing how many timeouts you have.
He admitted he knew. He just lost his bleep because of how that play went down. It's a rage frustration timeout that cost his team a win in the first day of NBA Cup action. And we're back at it tonight. And Sean is excited. He's got a 713 Rockets hat on. You guys should watch your Rockets, the Terror Twins, as they're called, Amen Thompson and Tari Eason. They are, right now, in my eyes, outside of Shingun, the best part of Rockets basketball, watching those guys go at it.
Yes.
Not only are they fun to watch, they contribute to winning.
They might actually be, they're not better than Alper and Shingun, but they're better to watch. They're more
yes,
fun
they are.
To watch. Because
yes, they are.
Come in and just F things up.
Yes.
Just immediately.
It's a bad night for the opponent when those guys are out on the floor. It's like, you know that LeBron meme when it's back in, with the Spurs where he watches Kawhi come on the floor, he's like, he's at the free throw line, and Kawhi's coming back, and he's like,
he
damn
looks
it.
Over his shoulder, Kawhi checks in, and he goes, damn.
Yeah, this is what it is for everyone when they see Tari and Amen Thompson out there. They've been really good this year. We'll see if that continues tonight against the Clippers, who will have James Harden, Kevin Porter Jr., Norman Powell, and all those guys we saw on Wednesday night. So we close out hour one with that. We will eventually get to the D'Amico stuff. He had a couple comments I'm interested in talking about. We'll do that in hour two. Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30 to discuss what you should and shouldn't be watching. And a warning for the Texas Longhorns from a guy who's coached in the SEC and won. Not won big, but he's won. And he has a warning for them for their weekend and particularly their game Saturday against Arkansas in Fayetteville. We'll talk about that at some point in the second hour. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.